It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. David had neither. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? The battle is the Lord's. It was his to fight as we stand on the sidelines. And can you picture him as we are there on the sidelines watching this apparently very defenseless man going to face our enemy, the devil? And for 40 days he was tempted in the wilderness, but he stepped in our place. And it's not with sword or spear that he would fight on our behalf. As he told Peter, "Put your sword away. The battle is the Lord's." And you will see how the Lord will deliver on this day. And he didn't come at the enemy with sticks, but he was taunted and mocked by the enemy as he bore that beam of the cross. But still, without sword or spear, the battle was the Lord's, as that man, that champion, had been chosen by God. He had been anointed by the Spirit, and God had chosen him to carry out that role on behalf of his people, to win the victory for them, to face their enemy for them, and to crush and defeat their enemy.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. March 9th, 2025. 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 to 49.
Everybody has a phobia, some sort of fear. Maybe for you it's the fear of spiders or snakes. Or maybe you have a fear of the little germs, bacteria, viruses, or fungi, or whatever you can get infected with. Some people have a fear of being alone. There was a phrase that came out a couple decades ago that's been repeated in a lot of different movies, and it apparently came from a movie in 1986. It's, "Be afraid. Be very afraid." And I guess they needed that in that movie because it was a movie about a man who's half fly, half man. And I don't know about you, but I don't really have giant flyophobia. So they had to have that phrase, "Be afraid, be very afraid." Another movie that came a couple years before that talks of a dark side and a guy who's traveling across the universe with his lightsaber to fight that dark side. And he's got this aged mentor, and in this naive overconfidence, he says to him, "I'm not afraid." And then his aged, wise mentor tells him, "Good, you will be. You will be." Don't know what you're afraid of, but can you imagine life without fear? I'm not just talking without fear because you've watched too many scary movies and you can watch any movie now, or fear of those simple things like snakes or spiders or giant flies. No, what about a life without fear of the things we should truly be afraid of? The forces of evil in the spiritual realms, the devil and the demons that seek to devour us. What about a life of fear of things that confront us like illness and eventually death and the grave? Well, today we start a series looking at how Christ opens the door to a whole new life. And we'll see how that includes a life without fear. It's easy, perhaps, when you're a soldier to confront the enemy when you have the upper hand. But can you imagine facing what the people of Israel faced as we read in 1 Samuel 17? Not only an army lined up against them, but a champion, a man who's named here Goliath, that stands above them. And that man, Goliath, is measured somewhere between 6.5 to 9.5 feet, depending how you take a cubit. But that's pretty tall. The tallest pro wrestler fell about a foot short of that. And if you look at the players we have in the NFL, they weighed about 400 pounds at the most, some of the heaviest players, and their gear perhaps 50 pounds. But this man, his armor was 150 pounds of armor with the best technology, with a bronze helmet and armor and plates. And as he carried that weight, which was about twice the weight any typical Marine in the U.S. Army would carry, or the Marines would carry with their tactical gear, twice that weight. He was armed, he was ready, and he was a warrior trained in battle from his youth. He called out for 40 days to the people of Israel, "Choose a man and fight me. Come down. And if he kills me, then we'll be your subjects. But if I kill him, you will be our subjects. Can you imagine the Israelites standing on the sideline, hearing that challenge, seeing that man towering so much above them? And this wasn't just something calling for some naive hero to step on the scene. This was a high-stakes event. And then came along this man who lived about 10 miles to the east, to the battlefront, David. David was bringing food to his brothers who were serving in the military. And when David heard this man taunting them, saying, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and we'll fight each other." When David heard that, his heart began to be filled with zeal for the Lord and for the name of his God. David, as we find in the account, goes around asking people about what's going on, and he finds out. His brother hears that David is doing this, and David's older brother mocks him and says, "I know you, David. You're just here to see the battlefield. You don't know anything about war, David. David, don't you see what this man is like? Be afraid. Be very afraid." "Oh, you're not afraid, David. You will be." But David is not daunted. He sees this man defying the armies of Israel and his living God. And so eventually word gets around that David has volunteered to stand up to him. David's brought before King Saul. And Saul, himself a very tall man, as it says he was impressive in height and appearance, had been cowering in fear of this challenge. Saul was the one who was supposed to lead his people and fight that battle as a champion on their behalf. Saul was the one who had been anointed by God, and yet he was there in his palace, fearfully withholding from the stand that he should be taking. David comes to him and tells him, "I will fight him." But then Saul's response, if you recall, as we read, is pretty much, "You'll fight him? You are just a boy, and he's been trained fighting. You should be afraid, very afraid." And David tells him, I'm not afraid. And Saul goes on, "You will be." Saul eventually, when David explains his circumstance, allows him to stand up. Where do we identify with in this account? These are real people. And as you look at someone like David, it'd be nice to identify with someone like him, but don't you feel you probably identify with the soldiers standing there on the sideline, looking at the challenge, realizing the insurmountable odds, that you would not stand a chance against that type of an enemy? Saul's taunt was also very daunting as he said, "Come to me and fight me, and I will make him and turn him into carcasses that will be fed on by the birds and the vultures and the wild animals." If you had a fierce champion warrior wanting to rip up your innards and make them into bird food, I'm sure you wouldn't want to stand up to him. I think we probably identify with the Israelites standing on the side hoping somebody might step up, but me? How could I? And I don't know what sort of other phobias or fears you encounter, but we probably should be afraid, because our enemy is far more daunting than what was faced on that battlefield, and his taunts are far more destructive. He comes and defies the living God, and he stands against him. He's not half man, half fly. He's the Lord of the flies. And he's a serpent. And his tool is not a sword to disembowel you. His tool is a lie, turning you against your God. And he deceives and he murders. He is the serpent who stands in opposition to you and all the people of this world. And his armies are the demons and the forces of evil in the spiritual realms. He prowls like a lion, looking to devour someone. And he would love nothing more than not just to make you into bird food, but to drag you away from your God and into the pits of hell where he is in torment. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Oh, and you're not afraid? Well, the devil would love nothing more than for you to have the same overconfidence that many have had, that you can think that you can confront him on your own. He would love that. Not afraid? You will be. So we need to know, how was David able to overcome his fear? How was he able to make that stand when everyone else couldn't? What did he have that made him so special? Was David someone that maybe had some special measure of courage that we just need to muster up in ourselves? Or maybe David is just some story, just some account written to make us a little bit more bold and give us some courage. But this is real. And what happened with David happened because of what we see in this account. First of all, we have to take note, David did not confront the enemy simply on his own strength. David had been anointed by the Lord. Goliath had been taunting the people of Israel for 40 days. But preceding that time, David had received an anointing of the Spirit. The prophet Samuel had come to the house of his father Jesse. He had looked at all the impressive sons, but then we read, the Lord doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Don't consider his height or his appearance. And so Samuel poured that oil, signifying to David that the Lord had chosen him. And it appears for what? David wasn't fully yet sure what that would entail, but he knew God had chosen him to serve him. And this you can be sure emboldened him. And David knew as he was anointed, as he explained to Saul, God had been with him. God helped him in the past. It was not merely explaining his own strength as he described his battle against the bear or the lion, but he said, the Lord who rescued me from them, the Lord who's been with me will be with me more, and continue to serve and help and defend. David, who had been anointed by God, was fighting now with God on his side, and God had a purpose for him. And when David goes out to confront the enemy, we read that he was given armor, but he didn't rely on that. He wasn't used to that. God would provide. I cannot go in these. David approached the enemy, knowing that he had been chosen by God. All the people on the sidelines watching this apparently defenseless, apparently far outmatched boy coming against their enemy, wondering what will happen. The Philistine taunted David, come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds. And he looked at David, taunting, am I a dog that you're coming at me with sticks? David replies, in the hearing of all the army of the Philistines, Goliath and his own people, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He called him earlier the living God. David had been chosen, anointed by the living God. And this man had been defying the living God. And he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This day I will make you into bird food. And then, Goliath, then all the people around here, the armies of Israel and all the world will know that there is a God in Israel. And then David says the most important truth that we need to hold to. For it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. David had neither. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? The battle is the Lord's. It was his to fight as we stand on the sidelines. And can you picture him as we are there on the sidelines watching this apparently very defenseless man going to face our enemy, the devil. And for 40 days he was tempted in the wilderness, but he stepped in our place. And it's not with sword or spear that he would fight on our behalf. As he told Peter, put your sword away. The battle is the Lord's. And you will see how the Lord will deliver on this day. And he didn't come at the enemy with sticks, but he was taunted and mocked by the enemy as he bore that beam of the cross. But still, without sword or spear, the battle was the Lord's, as that man, that champion, had been chosen by God. He had been anointed by the Spirit, and God had chosen him to carry out that role on behalf of his people, to win the victory for them, to face their enemy for them, and to crush and defeat their enemy. And sure enough, even though he came without sword or spear, in apparent weakness, He defeated our enemy by the cross, triumphing over him. And the things that we fear, such as the devil, the demons, the forces of evil, death, all conquered by our champion, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the battle belonged to him as he rose from the grave. And he told his disciples, "Don't be afraid." Are you afraid? Don't be. Don't be. And then what we saw with David, as David killed the Philistine with a single stone, took the sword of the enemy, and took the enemy's life with his own weapon. David then led the rest of the army of Israel against the Philistines. And yes, just like he said, the army of the Philistines became bird food that day. Why did the army follow? Because they had a champion. They had a champion who had defeated their fears and their enemy and had led them and conquered for them, the one God had chosen. It's the same with you. Your enemy has been defeated. Your champion has conquered him and has conquered death, and all of your fears are gone. And he tells you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at all. And if you're afraid, he says, good, you won't be. You won't be. And we march in the name of the living God, and the enemy falls. The gates of hell will be overcome and cannot withstand against the march of the gospel. As we follow our champion with his gospel, and we conquer against the forces of evil by the power of his word, and your greatest fears are overcome because you have a champion. And when you fear, because the times will come, remember not your own strength, but remember that you have been anointed. You have been baptized and chosen by him to be his own, and you now serve the living God for a high purpose. And you stand against the enemy, not alone, but with your champion running before you. The battle belongs to the Lord, and his people follow after him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at all. And if you are afraid, don't worry. You won't be. You won't be. Amen.